This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn-Mark Rushenkaniton and Noel Lim. 7.07 a.m. Wednesday, the 14th of April. And in about 15 minutes, we're going to be discussing how schools should respond to COVID-19 cases with medical specialist Dr. Helmi Hajamaidin. But before that, let's take a look at how markets closed yesterday.
U.S. markets, the Dow was down 0.2%, S&P 500 was up 0.3%, and NASDAQ up 1.1%.
And over in Asia, it was a mixed bag. Japan's Nikkei 225 was up 0.7%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng up 0.2%. Singapore's STI up 0.4%. The Shanghai Composite was down 0.5%. And the FBM KLCI took a bit of a hit here, down 0.7% yesterday.
And to give us more insight into international market movements, we have on the line with us Jack Cousy, Director for Strategy at VFS Group. Jack, thanks so much for joining us today. So all eyes are on the tech companies. Do you expect that they'll continue to outperform the market in terms of earnings growth as the pandemic slows?
Well, if you ask me now, the answer is yes. If you asked me a couple of months ago, I was a bit concerned. I think they will. I mean, we have to ask ourselves the question here. As an investor, what do we want to own more long-term? Do we want to own American Airlines or Square? Do we want to own, you know, industrials or growth tech companies? And I continue to go back to what has the potential for multiple earnings or for earnings growth in the future. And it has to be growth and it has to be tech. You know, we did see this sector rotation out, and now we've seen it come back towards the tech companies, you know, and I continue to say that our big tech companies provide both growth and safety in an environment that still has some uneasiness about it. So I expect this rotation to continue. I mean, remember, this is the midst of a 10-year rotation. We've had mini rotations back into industrials or values or cyclicals or reflationaries or whatever name that we give them. But in my opinion, the place you want to be is overweight growth and overweight tech, because they have the potential for greater growth earnings going forward. So I think this is just part of a longer term trend, and we'll continue to see it with some short term movements in between.
In this rotation, do you expect there are still value buys in amongst tech companies?
I think after the recent pullback, we saw valuations come into line. I mean, in terms of, you know, the big tech companies, I say you continue to own them, you don't trade them. But yeah, there are definitely some value out there. And I think, you know, your payment sector has been hit quite considerably. You know, Square, I think, is something that I would like to own long term, especially at this valuation. So there's definitely always value out there. It's just what you perceive value to be and what kind of multiple you want to pay for that value. And in an element of, you know, enormous liquidity, you know, those valuations are a little bit higher for what you pay. But yeah, I definitely see some gains here for investors to make as long as they can hold the line. And, you know, for those that held the line in the last 2 to 3 months, you know, you're being rewarded for that right now with this move back into, you know, tech and growth.
Speaking of value, Jack, on the exciting IPO that's coming out is Coinbase, the cryptocurrency exchange, and that's being valued at about $100 billion. Is it worth that much?
Even the bull amongst me is a bit. Look, I mean, we're in the midst of a crypto boom here. I mean, it did $1.8 billion in revenue last quarter, from what I could see, and you can see that, you know, this is an enormous space. You know, Coinbase is going to make a lot of history. I think it's tonight or tomorrow, in that it'll be the first cryptocurrency type play to IPO on a major stock market around the world. And it just shows you that, you know, how mainstream this is becoming. And this could be an access point, you know, for people who aren't on an exchange or trading coins to try to get exposure to cryptocurrency. It's a good company. It's been run very well, and it's done very well. My only concern about this space in general, when I look at it, is I look at the fees that they charge. So, you know, I had a quick look when I saw this morning, quoting Fox Business, you know, 3.99% for transfers, you know, 1.8% for transactions. So they're quite expensive. And then I think to myself, well, let's look at the Robinhoods, the interactive brokers, you know, the trading platforms of that, you know, for stocks. And that was a race to the bottom. Will we see that within the cryptocurrency spaces, you know, within the Binances and all those at the world? So that's my only fear about the valuation that we're giving it. And if we do see, you know, a bear market in cryptocurrency for a short or a longer period of time, does that affect their trading revenue? And I have noted that in the IPO. So, look, not going to hold it or touch it, but you know, there are benefits and disbenefits both ways when you look at it, but a historical moment for the market in general.
Now, of course, speaking as well of other companies that are going public, Grab Holdings is going public in the largest recorded SPAC deal to date. Do you think the company justifies, though, a $40 billion valuation?
Yeah, this one I do have a strong opinion about. And yes, I do. I do believe it justifies a $40 billion valuation. So 18 months ago, it was roughly valued around $20 billion. So we have doubled that valuation since then, that private valuation. This is a Goliath of Southeast Asia. This is a Goliath of tech around the globe. This is a iconic tech company that we will look back in 10 years and say, wow, they've got ride sharing, which is a very, very good business, a very good business, and their margins are better than anyone in the world. They have food delivery, which is growing enormously, and they are in fin payments. We talk about buy now, pay laters. Not much of them in Asia. They've got a handle on this. They've been acquiring licenses for now for the last 3 to 4 years. Mobile payments, they're on top of it. This is an enormous company with enormous growth ahead of it. And I didn't get to buy any of the SPAC last night, but I'll be looking at buying this tonight or over the next couple of days. I'm very, very bullish this company, very bullish this sector, and very bullish this company in the fastest growing region of the world. So I really like it, and I'm glad that now I have the opportunity to buy it on an open market.
But that's it, Jack. What are the risks to watch out for with this? With when we take a look at Grab, because like any other business, there are bound to be downside risks, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, you got increased competition. So they do kind of have the place to their own at the moment. They do have GoGet and around that, but they could, you know, see increased competition, particularly from the Chinese players coming in, right? So your Meishuans, your Didis, you know, that they could see that. You know, margins are always a big one with this one, in particularly in their food delivery business. Can they start to make that more profitable? So there are concerns, and there are economic concerns that could occur. But they are a very, very well diversified company, Roshan. And, you know, they've now got $4 billion in cash, which they can now use to grow. So there are always concerns. I think their biggest concern is competition in the space. But I just look at the potential growth for them, particularly in this fin payment sector, particularly in this mobile payment sector, which I particularly in fintech, in this Southeast Asian and credit lending, which is a little bit less mature than their Chinese or US cousins. And I see a lot of potential in this in company. And the guys behind it who did the SPAC deal, Ultima, they're no idiots. You know, they were involved in Snowflake. You know, they've done some really good stuff, and they've done their due diligence. And I really think this is a big potential for a company to become an Asian giant and a global giant.
Well, speaking about Chinese tech and Asian giants, Alibaba's Ant Group has been directed by Chinese regulators to restructure its business. How does this affect your view of Alibaba, if at all?
I think we've got to separate these two companies now, Alibaba and Ant. I'll go back and just talk about the $2.8 billion fine before I get onto Ant for a moment. I think they were quite lenient. And I think this was a sign of good faith from the Chinese regulator. So I think they're in the clear now. I think this is the end of the Alibaba tirade. And I was quite strong about this, and I've spoken to you on the show. You know, they could have fined them 10%. They decided to only fine them 4%. They didn't ask them to divest any of their non-core assets. They didn't ask them to sell the SCMP, and they could have fined them more for illegally acquiring revenue. So I think the Chinese regulator was clear but lenient on Barber. So for me, Barber is really a go-to stock now for me. I actually want to buy this. I think it's cheaper, this valuation. In terms of Ant, yes, they've asked them to become a financial holding company. We kind of already knew that. They want them to get a national banking license. We already knew that. They wanted to, you know, submit their plans every 3 years. We kind of already knew that. They were just putting that in paper. The question you need to ask yourself now is, and amongst all the lenders in China, how are they positioned? And they're probably positioned better. Remember, this is not just an Ant thing. All lenders in China will be made to do this. And when we talk about well-capitalized balance sheet, and it's probably at a third of the valuation we're going to see it listed in November, you know, this is starting to become, you know, an area for me to look at, being underweight Chinese tech for so long. So I think the future is quite brighter for that Alibaba and conglomerate. It's just the question now is who's next in the eyes of the regulator? And there are many companies on the chopping list here in China.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Jack. That was Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group, giving us some insight into global markets, touching a little bit on China tech, as well as a number of companies that are going public soon. So that's certainly some lots of things to watch there. But right now we're about to head into some messages. And then up next, how schools should respond to COVID-19 cases with medical specialist Dr. Helmi Hajamaydin. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.